Welcome to episode 88 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for the week of January 7th, 2008. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. On this week's episode of the Fredcast, we start with the news, including a scary editorial in the Times of London and the internet's reaction to it. A man is arrested for trying to get revenge against mountain bikers. Bikes outselling cars in the land of Oz, more scrutiny on fixies, pro cycling news, and much more. Following the news, a review of the Oxy2Go portable oxygen system, a review of the PowerTap SL cycle computer, a new show feature on off-season training, and pod-safe cycling music. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Fredcast is brought to you by listeners just like you. Thank you so much for your PayPal donations and for clicking those companies' links at thefredcast.com. It all goes to support the Fredcast, our hosting and production. Well, welcome back to the Fredcast. Happy New Year. I hope your holidays were wonderful and that your new year will be just as good as it should be. You deserve it. Now, let's start the news with something that if you've been following my Twitters, if you've been following the blog at thefredcast.com, and you know what, just plain, if you've been following cycling on the internet for the past couple of weeks, this is something that you probably already know about. Now, I was initially alerted to this by a listener named Daniel, who said, I thought I would send you a link to a very disturbing news article from the UK, where he lives, and it was in the Times of London. The article speaks for itself, and he says he hasn't been this nervous reading something like this for a long time, and it has made him worried about the next time he goes out on his bike. Now, you'll recall that over the past couple of shows, I've mentioned that police in certain cities are cracking down on scofflaw cyclists because they're tired of people running red lights, failing to yield to pedestrians, etc. And on the last show, I also railed against motorists who fail to yield to cyclists, and I also repeated the oft-mentioned question that my family asks me every time I come back from a road ride, which is, how many people tried to kill you today? The problem is now things have gone too far because a columnist in the Times Online by the name of Matthew Paris, well, he went into what I've called a vile rant against cyclists. Some of the quotes from it: a festive custom we could do worse than foster would be stringing piano wire across country lanes to decapitate cyclists. He goes on to say the lynching of a cyclist would be a joy to witness. And then he says, does cycling turn you into an insolent jerk, or are insolent jerks drawn disproportionately to cycling? Now, thankfully, scores of people went on to the Times Online and wrote comments against Matthew Paris for this article. In addition, there were a number of people who recommended that he be reported to the Metropolitan Police as someone who's incited violence against others. There were also people who recommended that he be reported to the Press Complaints Commission in Britain because it's they who might be able to sanction Mr. Paris and perhaps bring charges against him. The web reaction beyond what was on the Times Online was overwhelming, and I listed just a couple of links on thefredcast.com of some people who had written articles against what Mr. Paris had to say. And I mean, thankfully, it was kind of nice. I found that thefredcast.com was being quoted all over the internet as the best compendium of links for people speaking out against Matthew Paris. Following all of this and all of the complaints, I found out through Carlton Reed from bikebiz.com and quickrelease.tv that Matthew Paris had issued an apology. The apology reads like this, quote, I offended many with my Christmas attack on cyclists. It was meant humorously, but so many cyclists have taken it seriously that I plainly misjudged. I am sorry. Now, a lot of people have taken Paris to task, saying that it's an empty apology, but I'm going to take him at his word. When somebody says, I'm sorry, instead of mealy-mouthed words like, I regret if I offended anyone. I mean, the man said he was sorry, and I have to appreciate the fact that he did that. I think that his original article, and I encourage you to go back and read it, there are links in the show notes and links on my website. I think the original article was based on, well, basically based on an error. He was very upset because he felt that as he walked down the country lane in his neighborhood, that when he came across various cans of energy drinks, that they must have been thrown by cyclists. The fact of the matter is, you and I both know that none of us carry cans of energy drinks in our jersey pockets. Instead, we carry quite reusable water bottles in water bottle cages on our bikes. Very, very few of us are going to carry a can of Red Bull or Lucozade or something like that on our persons while we're out there riding. Quite honestly, I think it's more likely that it was a 20-something in a car that decided to throw it out their window. But I'm not going to go out there and call for shooting 20-somethings. And I don't think that he should have gone out there talking about stringing piano wire across country lanes when we all know, because I've reported it here on the show, that that has happened to cyclists before. So I think that it's a real concern when somebody in a website and in a newspaper as well-respected as the Times can write an article like this and have his editors let him get away with it. I think that that's a very bad sign. So I'm glad that he got put down. What I thought was really classy was that Carlton Reed from Bike Biz invited Mr. Paris out for a bike ride. And I hope that he takes him up on it. And if he does, I know that Carlton will report on it either here or on the Spokesman and certainly on his quickrelease.tv website. Now, here's the really interesting part. Remember I told you that people were complaining to the Press Complaints Commission in Great Britain? Well, as of a few days ago, Matthew Paris had 430 complaints. Now, in 2007, the most complained about story had 480 complaints. And according to Carlton Reed, the commission believes that this is the most number of complaints that any story has ever received, 480, and that Matthew Paris is set to eclipse that. Furthermore, according to Reed, the commission said, quote, the commission is considering whether there are any prima facie issues under the terms of the code of practice it enforces. It will be aware of the apology, but will consider all aspects of the complaint that are relevant. That's good news because it means there is a possibility that there may be charges filed against Matthew Paris. I wholeheartedly believe in the freedom of the press. I wholeheartedly believe in what we have here in the United States, which is freedom of speech under the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. But what I don't believe in is someone inciting others to violence against others, and in this case, to murderous violence. And for that, I am pleased that all of you have spoken out, that so many others have spoken out, and that Mr. Paris seems to be getting his comeuppance. I hope that that's true. And if you thought that was scary, here's something that may hit home for those of you who are mountain bikers, especially if you're in Southern California. Fullerton, California police say that they have arrested a man who has acknowledged to, get this, digging holes on a bike trail as payback for what he says is nearly having been run over by a cyclist. The guy charged here is Warren John Wilson, and he's facing a single felony count of vandalism. According to a police spokesperson in Fullerton, they said that nearly 50 holes measuring, get this, about 1 foot by 2 feet have been found since June along a trail at Laguna Lake Park, right down there in Orange County. And in some cases, attempts have been made to hide them from cyclists. This is sort of the typical, what used to be called man trap. According to the spokesperson, some riders went over their handlebars, no kidding, after hitting the holes, but none reported major injuries. The way that they caught this guy, detectives staked out the trail, watched the trails, and finally questioned him. And he said that he had nearly been run over by a mountain bike rider, and he began digging the holes in retaliation. Can you imagine? This guy and Matthew Paris would probably get along really well. Hey, how about some good news after all of that? Here's a great one that comes from the land of Oz. And no, I don't mean the place with the green gates. I'm talking about Australia. According to a bike industry funded group called the Cycling Promotion Fund, they've now released figures that show that a record 1.47 million bicycles were sold in Australia in 2007. And get this, that outsells cars for the 8th consecutive year. I think that's good news. And according to Elliot Fishman, a policy advisor at the Cycling Promotion Fund, quote, soaring petrol prices, concern over climate change, crippling traffic congestion, and the desire to lead healthier lifestyles all contributed to the record-breaking year. Continuing on, he said, not only are Australians buying more bikes, they're using them in increasing numbers. Recently released census figures show that many Australians have rediscovered the bike as a great way to commute, with cycling trips to work growing at an average 22% across Australian capital cities, with Melbourne soaring 42% between 2001 and 2006. This is great news for Australia, it's great news for the planet, and of course, it's great news for the cycling industry. And this is the kind of stuff that guys like Phil and Damien down in Australia are talking about all the time. So congratulations to you Aussies for buying more bikes than cars. That's great news. And speaking of cars, those of you who do drive those gas-guzzling, polluting... I'm sorry, I drive one too. Well, those of you who live in Oregon and drive a car, you now have the option of purchasing a specialty license plate that says, of course, share the road. The plates have the image of a cyclist and they say, share the road, and they will be available from the Department of Motor Vehicles in Oregon this week. And I have put a link in the show notes. And if you're listening to this in iTunes or on your iPod, go ahead and check it out because I put the graphic right there in the show. Now, the plates will cost an additional $10 over the ordinary 2-year license fee, which is $54 for most cars, and the extra money will be distributed to the Bicycle Transportation Alliance and Cycle Oregon. Now, for those of you who are in Oregon, please go out and get yourself a Share the Road plate, because at least 500 of these plates will have to be sold every year in order for them to remain available year after year. For those of you who are listening here in the state of Utah, if you would like to start a petition drive, I would be happy to sign your petition to get the same thing here in this state as well. Well, last year, right around this time, you may recall that here on the Fredcast, we were talking about some issues that were going on in the northwest of the United States, where there was some controversy regarding the use of fixed gear bicycles on the street. The question of whether or not they were street legal because they didn't have brakes. And for those of you not familiar with fixies, these are fixed gear bicycles. That means that there is only one gear. You do not have a derailleur. And the rear hub does not coast. And that means that anytime the wheels are moving, so are the pedals. And another feature of a fixie, especially for an enthusiast, is the lack of brakes. In other words, to stop a bicycle like this, you either coast to a stop or you skid to a stop by stopping your pedal motion and skidding until the bike stops. Well, unfortunately, last week in Santa Cruz, California, 18-year-old Lucian Gregg died in a traffic accident when he crashed his fixie without brakes behind a FedEx truck that was making a right turn. We've all been in this situation before. A car in front of you makes a right turn. They have no idea that you're there. And if you've got a road bike, a regular road bike, or a mountain bike, you hit your brakes, and hopefully you stop in time. In this case, Lucian was flung from his bike and he died of severe head trauma. He was not wearing a helmet, and police don't know if he was hit by the truck, but his bicycle was not damaged. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Lucian was 18 years old. Had he been 17, the law would have required him to wear a helmet. However, state of California, you hit 18 and you don't have to wear a helmet anymore. Although, as you all know, I think that that's a good idea. Now, in this case, I'm not casting aspersions at all. All I'm saying is, It's a tragedy, the fact that Lucian was killed. The issue, however, has now moved more to the legal arena, where people once again are looking very carefully at fixies, and this now in the state of California. According to the Santa Cruz police, riding a bike without a mechanical brake is illegal. However, police rarely issue citations for such a violation. And this is all according to a police spokesman named Zach Friend. The California Traffic Code regarding bicycle brakes says that a bike must be, quote, equipped with a brake which will enable the operator to make one braked wheel skid on dry, level, clean pavement. Police spokesman went on to say, quote, it's not legal to have a bike without brakes. It needs to be equipped with some sense of a braking mechanism. So the tragedy of Lucian's death may end up being the tragedy for other fixie riders in the state of California if police and other authorities start paying more attention to whether or not you are riding a fixie and whether or not you are riding one without a brake. So keep that in mind. I know that this is something that Tim Jackson from Mozzie Bikes is going to be interested in. I'm going to have to find out from him whether or not his bike has a brake. Be careful out there. Wear a helmet. Obey the law. It's the best advice I can give you. I know that if you're a fixie rider, it is far cooler and far less geeky not to have a brake on your bike. But better to come home at night and just be a little bit more geeky. That's my opinion. Moving on now to pro cycling news. Roberto Heras, the three-time Vuelta a España champion, has now quit professional cycling after serving his two-year ban for doping. You'll recall that Heras's ban ended in October, and that was because he tested positive for using the performance-enhancing drug EPO in the 2005 edition of the Vuelta a España. That would have been his fourth championship title in the Vuelta, but he was stripped of the title after he was convicted of using EPO. According to Heras, he was quoted in an edition of a sports daily called Marca as saying, quote, I have thrown in the towel. Meanwhile, for those of you who are in the U.S. state of New Mexico and in Albuquerque in particular, you are about to get a taste of pro tour cycling at its finest. And that's because some of the major stars of professional cycling are about to invade your city when Team Astana starts training in Albuquerque from January 23rd through February 4th. Now, in my personal opinion, this is a big loss for the city of Solvang in California, where the Discovery Channel team has trained for so long, and if I'm not mistaken, Team CSC as well. So now Johan Brunel is going to bring his new team, Astana, to Albuquerque to start their training. According to Charles Ovis, a local training camp representative, quote, we are thrilled Astana Cycling has chosen Albuquerque for their winter training camp. They'll experience all that our destination has to offer, from consistently mild weather, 6,000 to 11,000 foot elevation for training, and a welcoming environment for cyclists. And of course, don't forget that amazing Southwestern American cuisine. So for those of you in New Mexico, keep an eye out for Team Astana. If you see them, would you let me know? Give me a call. Send me a couple of photographs. I would love to talk about it here on the Fredcast. A couple of press releases from USA Cycling crossed my desk over the last couple of days. The first is the fact that the United States is now going to field 17 UCI-sanctioned teams for 2008. Two of those are set to compete not only in the United States Continental Series, but also in the Professional Continental Series, including U.S., Europe, and other international markets. Those two are the BMC Racing Team, and the second is Slipstream Chipotle. Now, the Continental squads that will primarily compete on the National Racing Calendar Circuit, as well as the USA Pro Tour, and I'll talk about that in a moment, and they include Team HealthNet, presented by Maxis, Jelly Belly Pro Cycling, Colavita Sutter Home, Toyota United, Bissell Pro Cycling, Jittery Joe's Pro Cycling, Kelly Benefit Strategies Metafast, Time, Successful Living, Rock Racing, DLP Professional Cycling, Rite Aid, Team Type 1, and the AEG Toshiba Jet Network Pro Cycling Team. Now that Team Discovery is no longer around, now that they've been disbanded, the United States is not fielding a UCI Pro Tour squad for 2008. However, the U.S. will field one UCI-sanctioned women's team this year, and that is WebCor Builders Women's Professional Cycling Team, and they will be the lone UCI-sanctioned squad in 2008. A moment ago, I mentioned the United States Pro Tour. There will be 16 races for this year, for 2008, for the USA Cycling Professional Tour. Three more races than last year, including a pair of brand new events, several traditional incumbents, and some recently revamped and renamed. The 2008 Pro Tour features five major multi-day stage races across the country, and that will include the tours of California, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Colorado, and Missouri. In addition, there will also be several single-day events, including seven road races, one circuit race, one criterium, and one time trial. And there will also be one Omnium-style event, and that will be this year on the calendar. The calendar includes the Amgen Tour of California, the U.S. Cycling Open, the Tour de Georgia, the Air Force Cycling Classic, the Tour de Leelanau, the Commerce Bank Lehigh Valley Classic, the Commerce Bank Reading Classic, and the Commerce Bank International Championship. Also, the American Eagle Outfitters Tour of Pennsylvania, the Rochester Omnium, the USA Cycling Professional Criterium Championships, the Colorado Stage Race, the USA Cycling Professional Time Trial National Championships, the Road National Championships, the Univest Grand Prix, and ending in September with the Tour of Missouri. For me, the one disappointment that I have about this calendar is, of course, that the Tour of Utah is not included on this year's Pro Tour. And finally tonight, you know how much I love GPS and how I love using it on my bike rides, whether on my road bike or on my mountain bike. But here's a guy who's not so happy that he had a stolen GPS with him when he was out on a bike ride. Now, this happened in Amityville, New York, where police arrested a man on suspicion of stealing a GPS after the device itself gave him away. Apparently, the police said that they stopped this 33-year-old man after they spotted him trying to ride a bike while carrying several items, including a car GPS unit. Police said that when the officer pressed the home button on the GPS, it displayed a nearby address. The resident of that home told police that the device was his, and the 33-year-old cyclist was arrested. Moral of the story? Don't steal a GPS, don't carry a car GPS while you're out riding your bike, or just have a half of a brain. And that's the news for this episode of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. A couple of announcements before we get into the features tonight. Number one, I've been talking about it the last couple of weeks, the Fredcast Transalpine Cycling Adventure from Salzburg, Austria to Venice, Italy is happening June 25th through July 4th of this year. And I got some emails from our cycling tour coordinator just today with some amazing pictures and some links to some of the hotels we're going to be staying at. We're just finishing up a couple of details before we update the website. I've gotten a number of emails from people who are interested. Please keep sending those to me and I will update you as soon as we have all the details on the website. But for those of you that are interested, June 25th through July 4th, mark your calendar. I hope to have more details for you next week. Second, I wanted to let you know that, as many of you know, this will be our third episode that we will be offering what I'm calling the eFredcast. That's the enhanced version of the Fredcast. It's an AAC file, which means that if you listen to it on your iPod or you listen to it on iTunes, you will have chapter markers, much like in a DVD, so that if you want to skip around, if you want to skip a story, I mean, I can't imagine you want to skip one of my stories, or if you want to go back and re-listen to the story, you can do that. It is A lot of our listeners are finding it extremely useful, and there is a new feed for that. It will be on the website, and it is also available in iTunes. I will put the links for both of those feeds into the show notes for tonight's show. So go ahead and check that out. Next up, I wanted to tell you about a new feature that I'm going to be bringing to the Fredcast. A lot of you reacted very positively to the conversations that we've had here about training in the off season. And as you know, I'm living in a very snowy climate right now. And so getting out on my bike, not always the easiest thing in the world to do. And I've quite frankly gotten out of shape. And you recall that I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with Coach Rich Wharton. And Rich has volunteered his time to act as my coach to keep me in shape during the off season. And we are going to be bringing you here on the show the interactions between myself and my coach, and also be bringing you more information on the various products that you can use to help yourself train in the off season. Right now, I am using a simple trainer setup in my spare room, and Rich is sending me workouts using Training Peaks. And I'm using the Cycling Peak software to record my workouts, and I'm using a CycleOps power tap for the power readings that Rich is giving me for targets and the various intervals he's giving me. This is going to be something that we're going to be bringing to you on an occasional basis. I'm hoping also to put a training log or a training blog up on the site, but I just wanted to let you know that this is something we're going to be doing. And if you've got some products that you'd like to recommend or some things that you'd like information on, please send me an email. And in the conversations that we'll be having here on the show with Rich, we'll be bringing those to you. It's my hope that in listening to what I am doing to keep myself in shape in the off season, that you will be able to learn what you can do to keep yourself in shape in the off season. I'm looking for your comments, your suggestions, and your questions, and we will cover all of those in this section on the show every week. Look for that coming up next week. Okay, next up, I want to talk to you about a product that I noticed at Interbike this year, and I actually interviewed one of the people from the company. And it's a product called Oxy2Go. And you may recall from that interview at Interbike that this is a portable oxygen cylinder and delivery system. It looks a lot like a CO2 inflator that you might use when you get a flat tire on your bike. But this one carries 90% oxygen and 10% nitrogen. So it's not quite pure oxygen, but it's certainly far more oxygen that you would get simply breathing, because according to the Oxy2Go website, the Earth's atmosphere contains about 21% oxygen. Now, of course, you know that because you've heard this so many times, that a blast of oxygen should give you some sort of performance advantage. And this is exactly what we were hearing from the folks at Oxy2Go at Interbike. And I got a lot of emails from a lot of you saying, you know, a simple shot of oxygen, a 1 second blast, really isn't going to do anything for you. And so I asked the folks at Oxy2Go to send me a sample so that I could test it out. Now, before I tell you my opinion about what I found from Oxy2Go, I want you to understand, I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV. I don't have a medical degree. I don't have a physiology degree. As a matter of fact, my degree is in political science. So listen, I'm not an expert on this. I'm just your average everyday cyclist who also happens to live at high altitude. And I remember talking to the folks at Oxy2Go and mentioning the fact that, gee, because I live at a high altitude, would this product help me out? And they said, yeah, absolutely, it would. And so over the last couple of weeks, I've been testing out Oxy2Go on my trainer. And I've also been checking out Oxy2Go when I've been up skiing. And here's what I found. At least for me, using Oxy2Go exactly as they recommend in their instructions, which is simply pressing the button and taking a 1 second blast of the oxygen that comes out of the bottle, at least for me, I saw absolutely no performance advantage. I didn't find that when I was riding my trainer that I felt less lactic acid in my legs. Again, that's subjective. I didn't feel that I was breathing any less. I didn't feel that my mental awareness was increased, and I didn't find that I was able to put out more power, again, looking at my power meter, so that's objective, nor did I find that it had any effect on my heart rate. Again, objective, because I was looking at the heart rate monitor at the same time. So at least for me, I didn't find any benefit from the Oxy2Go system. My apologies to the folks who make the system, but for me, I didn't see any sort of a difference. If you, however, are interested in Oxy2Go, it is purported to be the world's smallest, most convenient portable oxygen system that has been ever developed for athletes, active people, and anyone who wants a shot of pure oxygen. The unit that I've been using, the cylinder contains pressurized oxygen, again, 90% oxygen, 10% nitrogen, and it provides about 14 one-second blasts of oxygen. It is true that it's free from contaminants and free from pollutants in the normal atmosphere, but again, for me, it didn't make a difference. If you're interested in getting it, I've put links in the show notes to oxy2go.com. That's the number two. But I will tell you that if you wanted to get a portable oxygen regulator and two cylinders, the retail price is $29.95. Additional cylinders, a six-pack, is also $29.95. Didn't work for me, might work for you. If you'd like to give it a try, once again, it's Oxy, the number two, go.com. Okay, I've got one more product review for you tonight, and this is a product that absolutely did work for me and continues to work for me. And this is a review that I think has been long awaited by many of you out there. This is the Cyclops PowerTap SL Power Meter. The PowerTap is perhaps one of the most well-known names in power meters, and this has been a product that I have been looking forward to testing and looking forward to reviewing. So let's get into it. First of all, let's talk a little bit about what makes the PowerTap different, because it is different from the other power meters I've reviewed so far. Let's review. I reviewed the iBike, and you'll recall that the way that the iBike worked was that it worked on tilt, and it worked on speed, and it worked on wind, and all of these forces, and that's how it determined the power that you were putting into the pedals. I also reviewed the Polar CXCS, pardon me, that's Charlie Sierra 600 power meter, and that one worked different, and that one was sensing the strain on the chain on the bike in order to determine the power that you were putting into the pedals. The Cyclops, the PowerTap, works completely differently. The PowerTap replaces your existing rear hub. The strain gauges or the power sensor are located in the rear hub. So question number one that everybody has, yes, you need to replace your rear hub. So if you've got a Shimano, if you've got a Campagnolo, you do have to replace that hub. Or it is also possible to buy the PowerTap as a fully built-up wheel, and there's a number of different wheel manufacturers whose wheels that you can use with the PowerTap. Now, for what it's worth, the hub itself weighs 416 grams, that's 416 grams, and so you can check that against the existing hub that you're using. I got mine as a built-up wheel, but you can get them Shimano or Campy compatible with 8, 9, or 10-speed systems with either a 130 or 135-millimeter axle spacing. Don't worry about those technical details. The bottom line is this hub should fit your road bike. If you're riding a road bike and you want a power tap, you should be able to fit this onto your bike. Now, in the package, the package, by the way, let's talk about that for a second, because I was really impressed with what I got with the power tap. You get a really nice carrying case for the power tap itself. You, of course, get an instruction manual, and you also get two CDs. One with the Cycling Peak software and one with the PowerTap software, and we'll talk about that again in a moment, but you also get a DVD. I was very impressed with this DVD, and along with the DVD, you also get a book called Training with Power. Both the DVD and the book Training with Power are presented by Dr. Alan Lim, who works for PowerTap and is, from what I can understand, an exercise physiologist, and he knows about training with power. And a lot of you have asked me, look, I'm already training with a heart rate monitor. Why do I care about training with power? Dr. Lim clearly explains in the DVD why you should care about training with power, and this DVD is well worth watching. Matter of fact, if they sold the DVD separately, I would probably buy it because the presentation is simply that good. The bottom line of his presentation, and of course this is a minute nutshell of what you would get in the entire presentation, but the bottom line is that training with power, power shows you what you are doing right now. Heart rate is a reaction to the work that you're putting in to your pedaling. So if you're training with power, you are training with an objective measure of what you're doing now. If you're training with heart rate, you're looking at the reaction to the work that you're doing. And that's why training with power has become so important to so many. Anyway, let's get back to where we were. So in the package, you get the hub and you get all of these manuals and CDs, and you also, of course, get a CPU unit, and that is essentially the computer that you mount onto your handlebar. And what it will display for you is your power, of course, because it's a power meter, current, average, and max. It will also show your current and average heart rate, your current and average cadence, your current, average, and max speed, your energy expenditure, and by the way, this is displayed in kilojoules, whereas a lot of other computers will show you in calories. Kilojoules are an approximation of the calories that you've burned, but they are more precisely a measure of the actual work that you've produced. It will also show your ride distance in miles or kilometers, and of course, it'll also show your elapsed time, your interval time, and the time of day. The display itself has three lines, and it's customizable. It will let you show power, heart rate, and cadence simultaneously, or if you don't want cadence, it'll show your speed there. So it would be power, speed, and heart rate, or a variety of different things. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I like the fact that it is customizable. You can customize on your handlebars itself or with the included software. It will record up to 15 hours of rides at 1 second recording rates. It records unlimited intervals. And the one that I got, the PowerTap SL, includes a cadence sensor. And it also works as a heart rate monitor. So if you just wanted to take it with you out on a run, you could use it just as a heart rate monitor. And there's a way to set it so that it will work like that. And by the way, if you wanted to use it without your PowerTap hub, let's say you have a set of racing wheels, you can just use it as a regular cycle computer. So let's talk a little bit about the installation of the PowerTap SL. Now, if you buy it as a built-up wheel, well then of course, installation is going to be easy as far as the hub goes. You just simply replace your rear wheel with the new rear wheel. If not, you're going to have a new wheel built with this hub. And of course, in either case, you're going to need to switch your old cassette from your old wheel to the new one, unless you're Thurston Howell III, in which case you can buy another cassette and have two wheels with two cassettes. Now, I've been using, as I've said, the PowerTap SL. The PowerTap SL has wired sensors, one that communicates with the hub, and then the wire goes all the way back to the handlebar to the CPU or the cycle computer, and then one for cadence. But for just $300 more, and of course that's a retail price, suggested retail price, you can get the PowerTap SL 2.4. 2.4, of course, standing for the 2.4 gigahertz spectrum on which that's the wireless frequency that they're using, the radio frequency, to communicate. So for that extra $300, it would be a completely wireless setup. So that would make your installation extremely easy. You'd put in the hub, you'd put a wireless sensor for your cadence, and that's an optional item for the SL 2.4, so it's another $50, and you'd then mount your handlebar mount, and that would be it. You'd be done. However, the one that I have, the way that it works is the hub communicates wirelessly to a sensor that you mount on your seat stay. It has to be 3 inches or less from the axle, and then from there, a wire runs from the sensor up to the handlebar mount for the CPU, and that wire is hardwired into the receiver mount. For Cadence, once again, you also have to have a Cadence sensor on your chainstay and a magnet on the crank arm, and the Cadence sensor wire also runs to the handlebar mount for the CPU, but this wire plugs into the receiver mount. Once the handlebar receiver mount is attached to the handlebar, you're basically ready to go. You just need to set up the computer pretty much the same way that you do a regular cycle computer, entering the wheel size and various other features, but it doesn't take more than about 5 minutes to do. And the printed manual, and by the way, I always appreciate printed manuals. The printed manual is really easy to understand. Operation, extremely straightforward. There are three lines on the display, as I mentioned before. The top always shows power, either current, average, or maximum, and you can select that just by clicking a button. The middle one shows cadence, heart rate, or speed. It's your choice, and it's selectable on your computer itself, the cycle computer itself, or via the software when you connect it to your computer. The bottom one shows a variety of different information. Once again, just simply clicking a button will bring up each of the following: distance, time, cadence, energy expenditure, the odometer, your heart rate, and your average heart rate. Now, there are just two buttons on the CPU, and I appreciate that. Simplicity is good. One is for selecting a mode, in other words, which line on the display, line 1, 2, or 3, that you want to access, and then one for selecting which data value you want to see. So for instance, if you select the mode button to go to the top line of the display, that's your power, and then you click the select button, it will alternate with each press of the select button from current power, maximum power, average power, and then back to current power again. Really simple to use. It takes 5 minutes on the bike, and you know everything you know about how to use it. Now, the power tap can also, as I said earlier, store unlimited intervals. Now, you can't set it up so that it alerts you to your intervals. In other words, if you say you want 5 minutes at 250 watts, and you're a hammer, so good for you, but if you say you want 5 minutes at 250 watts, it will not automatically switch over and start counting down the 5 minutes and give you an alarm if you're above or below your limits. No, instead, you have to watch that for yourself. So you simply quick click both buttons at the same time. You've entered a new interval, and now you're on your own to watch the time and to watch the power, your heart rate, or whatever it is that you're training on that day. It works very well. I'm using it in my training on my trainer. I've been really pleased with the ease of use of the computer itself and with the data that it returns to me in the software. So let's talk a little bit about the software. There's two CDs, as I mentioned earlier, that come with the PowerTap. One is CycleOps' own software called PowerAgent. We talk a lot here on the show about whether or not various software is Mac compatible, Windows compatible. We rarely talk about Linux or Solaris or any of those. But here's the cool thing. And kudos to CycleOps for doing this. The PowerAgent software is Mac, Windows, Linux, or Solaris compatible. And the software is really good. If you are looking to download your data and analyze in a particular workout what zone you are in, whether you are in an endurance zone or you were in your threshold, or maybe you were in a raced mode, and you just want to see a graph and see the actual data, it's got everything you need right there in that software. And you could stop right there, because the software is that good. Downloading the data into your computer is extremely easy. Unlike the Polar power meter that we talked about recently, the PowerTap includes a USB cradle. You simply take your CPU unit off your handlebars, and it's simply clicks off. It's very simple. And then you click it right into this cradle, and within moments, it's downloaded into your computer. It's very easy. I've used it under Windows. I've used it under Mac, and it is flawless. It works great. Kudos to them for providing the cradle and for providing such good software. But I've gone a step beyond. Also included in the box is the Cycling Peaks CD. Many of you are familiar with Cycling Peaks. We're going to be talking more about it as we talk in my training blogs about my training. I've been using the Cycling Peaks software under Windows with the PowerTap. They work flawlessly together, and the amount of data that's provided there is mind-blowing. I'm going to tell you right now, I probably understand 15% of what I can view in Cycling Peaks. But what's even better is that by clicking one button, it uploads to Training Peaks, and my coach can take a look at it, and he better understand it because he's the one who's working my tail off every day. So it works very, very well. The software, I cannot complain about either Cycling Peaks or PowerAgent. And if you only use PowerAgent, you're going to be very, very happy with the results because it presents this mass amount of data in a very user-friendly and understandable way. So a couple of comments on the PowerTap. Number one, let's talk about accuracy. This is a question I get every time I do a power meter review. Look, I mentioned it earlier. I'm not a scientist. I don't have a dynamometer. I don't have strain gauges. I don't have a wind tunnel. So all I can do is compare the readings that I get out of the various power meters to each other. And I can tell you that right now I've got on my bike the PowerTap and the SRM, and they are reading within a few percentage points of each other. And so I believe that both of them, and we're going to talk about the SRM on a future show, not too far in the future, by the way, because I need to send it back because they're going to charge me for it otherwise. But I believe that they are both giving me accurate readings. So we'll talk about the SRM another time. Back to the PowerTap. Ease of use, very simple to use, very easy, as I mentioned earlier. With just two buttons and three lines on the display, it's giving you all the information you need. It's very easy to use. And even when Rich has given me a workout that has kicked my butt, even my oxygen-deprived state, I've still been able to use the PowerTap, and that's saying something. Again, I talked about the software. I think the software is really good, and I'm very impressed with the guide and DVD from Dr. Alan Lim. I think they did a great job. And also impressed with this carrying case that you get, because as you travel with your PowerTap, you're going to want to keep it safe, and I'm very impressed with the entire package. The computer was easy to connect. It includes all of the hardware, and something I really liked, because you know how much I like my Garmin GPS on my bike, the Garmin and the PowerTap use the exact same heart rate monitor strap. So I could use my PowerTap heart rate monitor strap with my Garmin, and I could use my Garmin strap with my PowerTap, and they will both read out the heart rate simultaneously. To me, that's a big bonus. One glitch that I did run into, and I think that it may be battery related in the hub, is that on one of my workouts, I had about a 5-minute glitch where when I connected the PowerTap to the computer, those 5 minutes of data were simply gone. They didn't exist. They read out just fine on the CPU when I was riding, but for some reason, it didn't transfer to the computer. I think it's probably a battery glitch in the hub or simply a one-time hiccup. I've been using it for the last 2 months, I would say, and it's working just fine. So I would say that's probably just a hiccup and not something that I should be too concerned about. I also mentioned one thing, and that is the fact that you're unable to set up and follow intervals in advance. So I'm not able to take a day's training, put it into the PowerTap, and then follow it as I'm out on my ride. It's a minor issue, but at this price point, it's something that I would have liked to have seen in the PowerTap. Nevertheless, I'm very happy with this device. It takes up really no additional appreciable weight on the bike. It has been very accurate. Other than the one hiccup, I think that I've gotten very good data from it. And it's just very simple to use and very simple to look at, and yet it still provides me with a wealth of data on my training. Okay, for the PowerTap SL, like the one that I've been testing, that gives you the hub, the CPU, all mounting hardware, the hookup cradle for your computer, and all the accessories I talked about. The MSRP on that, the manufacturer's suggested retail price, is $1,199. For the completely wireless unit, the PowerTap SL 2.4, that's $1,499, but it does not include Cadence, whereas the previous unit does. If you want the wireless Cadence sensor, that's another $49.99. There's also a lower priced version, and that's the PowerTap Pro. Here, though, the system weighs 640 grams as compared to the SL and the SL 2.4 at 480 grams, 640 versus 480, but there is a substantial price savings at $899. All of the PowerTaps include a one-year warranty, and they're said to be accurate within plus or minus 1.5%. These are well-known products, well-respected. I've been very impressed with the results I've gotten by using them. And finally tonight, one more quick announcement, if you don't mind, and that is, for those of you who were with me last year, you know about my coverage of the Amgen Tour of California and how impressed I was with the logistics and with the volunteers. Well, the Amgen Tour of California for 2008 is looking for volunteers. They need more than 4,000 volunteers, with about 350 needed just alone to support the new finish line in Pasadena, California. You can apply online for positions that include course marshal, security, medical control. And in case you don't know, this year's Tour of California is scheduled for February 17th through the 24th, and you're going to see international cycling teams from all over the world racing from Northern to Southern California in this 8-day road race. If you are interested in any of these volunteer opportunities, go to AmgenTourOfCalifornia.com, and I have put a link in the show notes. One caveat, volunteers must be over the age of 18 or accompanied by an adult, and the online sign-up form offers volunteers the opportunity to rank their top three job preferences, and every attempt is made to match volunteers to their area of interest. This is a great way to watch cycling and give back to cycling all at the same time. Go ahead and check it out. Links are in the show notes. And with that, we're getting ready to close out this week's episode of the Fredcast, but just a couple of things. Spread the word. Let people know about the Fredcast. Tell your buddies on your rides. Tell your club. Write a review in iTunes or vote for us at Podcast Alley. We would appreciate it. Links are in the show notes. Of course, you can follow along with everything that we're doing here at the Fredcast by following our Twitter feed. Again, links are in the show notes and on the website. You can also go to our Facebook page. And then, of course, you can just follow along on the blog. You never know when I'm going to post stuff up there, and there are a couple of cool videos there that you might find interesting right now. Of course, if you'd like to make comments, we love to get your email. The email address is thefredcast@gmail.com. And of course, if you don't just want to send text, you can send audio. There's four different ways that you can do that. You can put it in an email. You can send me a voice message at 435-258-6FRED. That's 435-258-6373. You can use Skype to send me a voicemail. The Skype name is thefredcast. Or you can use your own computer and microphone, record something right there online. You don't need any special recording software on your computer, because we've got it for you using TringMe, MyChingo, or Odeo. Links are in the show notes and also on the website at www.thefredcast.com. And now it's time, as it is every week at this time, for PodSafe Cycling Music. This week's music is found on the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. I've had this song for a couple of weeks getting ready to put it in the show, and every week I kept finding another song to put in, whether it was a holiday song or one that was suggested by a listener. But finally, it's time for Derek James, and the song is called Free Love. I've got links in the show notes to where you can find him on the Podsafe Music Network, on iTunes, and on his own website. So, from all of us here at the Fredcast, once again, Happy New Year, Happy 2008. It's going to be a good year for cycling, a good year for the Fredcast. Between now and the next episode of the Fredcast, enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.
She'll melt you down to a puddle of a man just looking for his pride, try to make it as you're caught up in the flame. Lay it on thick, spread it quick, better hustle as the clock ticks. In a minute all the fuse is gonna run out. Look around, the fire gives way. Can you make it as you hear yourself say, free love, come and take me. Free love, come and save me. Come and save me.